Now, new research from UW-Madison shows that songbirds sing because it's a rewarding social activity. The study, published in the journal Scientific Reports, found that singing does good stuff for a songbird's brain, and there could be a lesson here for us humans. Lauren Reeders is a professor of integrative biology at the UW-Madison. She recently led the study on the rewards of birdsong. Lauren, welcome to Central Time.
Well, thanks for having me.
Well, start us off with the focus of your study. What were you trying to figure out here?
Well, so for my lab, we're really interested in the role that reward plays in shaping communication, and we study this in songbirds. So male songbirds, I mean, people know this. They're famous for singing to attract mates and to defend territories, but we were really intrigued by the fact that birds sing in other contexts as well. So we study starlings, which I know ornithologists will groan because they're considered pest species. They kick out bluebirds, but they're amazing singers. And both male and female starlings, they sing in large flocks outside the breeding season. They're doing this right now, but it's not obvious why they're doing it. They sing, they don't attract a mate, they don't repel a competitor. So we became intrigued by the possibility that perhaps they're singing because it's rewarding. I mean, we know it's important for learning. They have to learn and practice songs in order to sing species-typical song. But in immediate sense, it wasn't clear why they were doing that. So this is why we decided to investigate the possibility that perhaps they're singing because it's intrinsically rewarding.
Well, before we get into the songbird's brain, let's get our brains on the right track with a listen to some of a call from a European starling. Here it is. All right, well, it sounds like they're having fun there. What did you find out is going on in the brains of starlings when they're doing this, what appears to be, it sounds like, non-essential singing?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, if you hear the songbirds singing in spring, when they're trying to attract a mate, we find that it's really stereotyped. But outside the breeding season, when we know that it's important time for them to practice song, we actually think they might be playing around with the song. So, you know, if you ask, why do puppies play? Why do humans play? It's developmentally important, and they do it because it's rewarding. And so we thought maybe it's very similar to what we see with birdsong. They're singing, they're practicing, and so perhaps it's rewarding. And so we found that this kind of song is really sloppy. We've thought of it sort of as maybe a form of freeform jazz that we're hearing. Yeah.
I like it. So what is the reward here? Obviously, it's not a mate because it's the off season and it's a different kind of song. What is going on in the songbird, the starling's brain that rewards them for this improvisational singing?
Yeah, so that's what we were curious about. I already mentioned social play behavior. It is well known that play behavior releases endogenous opioids. So opioids across the animal kingdom are involved in natural reward. So opioids like heroin, morphine, and fentanyl, they're famous right now because of the opioid epidemic, but they're also well known for inducing both pleasure and reducing pain. And so birds, as well as humans, you know, we produce our own endogenous opioids. And so we thought perhaps it's the birds' endogenous opioids that are regulating this specific type of singing behavior.
And is it?
Well, we think so. I mean, first we had to figure out how do you ask a bird if it feels good
right
to sing? So what we did there is we use what's called a condition place preference test. It's commonly used in psychology to test reward. So we had birds singing in these flocks outside the breeding context. And then you just take a bird and you put it immediately in a distinct environment. So, for example, a blue cage. And then the next day we would give birds a choice between a blue cage or a red cage. And we found that if birds sang high rates of this song in flocks, they developed a very strong preference for a blue cage. So this suggests that the bird is associating this place with singing in a positive way. Kind of like if you're like me, you might find yourself in the kitchen, right? You associate the kitchen right now during the pandemic with tasty treats. So you return there, right? So we kind of took advantage of this condition place preference to provide insight into how a bird is feeling when it's singing.
Talking to Lauren Reeders, professor of integrative biology at UW-Madison, trying to answer questions about why songbirds sing. What's in it for them? What do they get out of it? Now, from what you're saying, Lauren, I could see a couple different things here. Maybe there's an evolution that says, hey, when you sing, we trigger this endogenous opioid, this built-in good feeling all by
right
yourself. Or you've also mentioned singing in flocks. Is it that they're, you know, in a social setting, they're socializing with each other, and then they get that boost? Could it be either, both? I don't know.
Actually, we do think it's probably both. We have given starlings low doses of fentanyl, just a transient increase in, so fentanyl is the drug that it binds to these opioid receptors that can stimulate reward, and we find that they sing at really high rates. And then we've also disrupted those opioid receptors, and we find that that breaks the link between singing and reward. So they no longer show a place preference associated with song, and they sing less. And so our interpretation is that it could be that joining the flock leads to opioid release that's rewarding and that triggers the singing behavior. And then perhaps the act of singing itself is leading to further opioid release to further reinforce that singing behavior.
Right. Now, here's a question, maybe a stupid question. Are these songbirds, are these starlings having fun when they sing? If we can interpret the human concept of fun and apply it to a bird?
That's right. So there are very few behaviors that animals do for no apparent reason, right? Usually there's some immediate outcome. But these birds are just singing. And if you watch them, it looks they're doing it right now. You could see them outside. It looks like they're singing into space. And so the notable exception to that is play behavior, which is why we started to ask, could this be a form of playful behavior? Play behavior, you do it for no reason. It's important, you know, in the long run, developmentally. And so even Darwin proposed that perhaps birds in this context were singing for their own amusement. And I would say that, yeah, our data are suggesting, you know, they're singing this free-form jazz. It's a playful behavior.
Now, maybe I'm mammal-centric here. I usually associate this kind of fun, playful behavior with what I think of, maybe unfairly, as more complex organisms like mammals. Am I underestimating birds? Does the bird brain stereotype underestimate what they can do?
Yeah, that's right. There is this bird brain stereotype. And I think part of that is because if you look at the bird's brain, it looks smooth and mammal brains are really wrinkly. And so people thought, well, birds, you know, their brain is devoted to flying. And so, you know, they've got this simple brain that lets them do primitive behaviors. But people studying birds are finding actually they're capable of extremely complicated behaviors and that their brain, it's organized differently from mammals, but there are a lot of similarities. So actually, I mean, this brings me to the idea that I think that what we're studying birds may actually apply to mammals. Perhaps it may even provide insights into human behavior.
How so?
Well, birds and mammals, they had a common ancestor over 300 million years ago. And so it is possible, right, that what we're looking at is a bird thing. But we think it's unlikely because neurochemicals like the opioids that we look at and neural systems that regulate social behaviors and reward seem to have been conserved in evolution. So they've been retained and they're very similar across vertebrates, which suggests that by studying rewarding birdsong, we can understand how the brain makes social behaviors positive and rewarding, including in humans, right? So if you look at humans with depression, social interactions, playful, positive interactions are no longer rewarding, the kind of interactions we're looking at in starlings. If you look at social anxiety, these kind of interactions are interactions that humans wish to avoid. So we think that by studying the social behavior in songbirds, we can develop new ideas for treatments that might promote positive interactions in humans that might be socially withdrawn or no longer find human contact to be rewarding.
We'll leave it there. Lauren, thanks a lot for sharing this with us today.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you.
Lauren Readers is a professor of integrative biology at UW-Madison. She talked to us about a study she authored on the chemical rewards of singing for birds.